It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Thursday the 22nd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Microsoft announced Windows 10 this week. Some of the news was, as expected, a new and by some standards cluttered start menu, the ability to stream the company's Xbox games on tablets and PCs, and more artificial brain power for Microsoft's answer to Siri, Cortana. Company CEO Satya Nadella said things like this.
Windows 10 is built for a world where there are going to be more devices on the planet than people.
One of those devices will be a new Windows HoloLens. It's another face-based technology, a kind of visor that projects holograms into the room you're in. Forrester's Frank Gillette was at the company's event. He got to put one on, and it put him on Mars.
You basically can stand in the middle of a room, put on a HoloLens, and you're on the surface of Mars, and within the confines of the room that you're in, so you don't bump into physical walls, you can go stand where the Mars rover is standing as if you were looking from the rover, or you can stand outside the rover and walk around it.
I don't want to blow up your spot, but you said something like this brought tears to your eyes?
Yeah, it's pretty emotional thinking about yourself standing millions of miles from your home planet. You know, it's a really bleak landscape, but you know it's safe and you're not really there, so your curiosity takes over and you're just kind of overwhelmed. It doesn't completely suspend disbelief, but believe me, it's powerful enough that it's very compelling.
Frank Gillette at Forrester. From holograms to regular old YouTube videos, today President Obama will be interviewed about his State of the Union address by some of YouTube's biggest stars live on YouTube. The list includes Glozell, who 42 million people have watched struggle through the Cinnamon Challenge online. This is a play by the White House to engage younger demographics, possibly future voters. Mike Panetta is a partner at the Beekeeper Group, a social media consulting firm for public affairs campaigns. He says there are a few rules.
They say never work with kids and animals and also never work live on the internet. That's one of my mottos.
And they're doing two out of three.
Exactly. So, yeah, there's sort of a degree of walking on a tightrope here as you're doing this. But that's the sort of authentic engagement that their demographic that they're targeting here is looking for. They're not looking for the scripted talking points that you see on so many of these cable shows. They want authentic questions. They want real answers. And they want things that I think are going to be a little offbeat as well.
What will the White House come away from this? You know, how will they measure success coming away from this?
I think what they're going to do to measure success is look at the overall views. These interviews are going to have a longer shelf life than just the one-day story that programs like this will cover. They'll live online forever, and I think they'll look at total aggregate views of these conversations 3 months from now, 6 months from now, and see how many people were reached with the basic themes and messages that came out of the State of the Union address.
We had one of the president's interviewers, teenage lifestyle mogul Bethany Moda, on this show. Listen to that at facebook.com/marketplacetech. This year, we're taking a regular opportunity to go back to the Future Part 2. We're looking at some of the technology predicted in the movie. Why? Because in the movie, this happens.
2015? You mean we're in the future?
And when it does, Marty McFly's girlfriend Jennifer, played by Elizabeth Shue, gets overexcited, and the time-traveling doc points a device at her that puts her to sleep. In the real world of 2015, we've got tons of stuff to supposedly help us get to sleep. Masks, drugs, hypnosis, that old dusty fan my wife can't live without. What about a device, though, that could actually induce sleep? Are we there yet? Sarah Lissenby is a person who can answer this. She's chair of the Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences Department at Duke University. Hello, Sarah. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right, give it to me straight, Sarah. Do we have something that can shoot magnetic waves at our brain and make us go to sleep?
Well, I'm not sure it's exactly like portrayed in Back to the Future, but we certainly know a lot more about how brain stimulation can influence sleep.
Tell me a few of the things that we know.
Well, an area that I've studied is transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. TMS uses magnetic fields to induce small electrical currents in the brain, and you can give it at specific rhythms or patterns or frequencies. The idea is to try to alter the brain rhythms in a direction that would change sleep or change behavior.
Why do you think these techniques work?
Well, sleep is a rhythm, basically. So there are characteristic patterns of oscillations in the brain. And you can actually use the different forms of stimulation, such as magnetic stimulation or direct electrical stimulation or sensory stimulation, given at different frequencies to modulate those brain rhythms. The idea is to try to entrain the rhythmic activity of the brain in a way that would be comparable to sleep.
It's so interesting. This reminds me of music.
Well, I think that's a good analogy. It is about resonance, basically trying to entrain these brain rhythms. And in fact, that's really one of the frontiers of neuroscience, learning new ways to understand how the brain works at the speed of thought.
All right. So I'm going to ask you perhaps to break your scientist rules and tell me how long you think it'll take before I can get a sleep-inducing device in my bedroom.
Don't hold me to this, but I think it's foreseeable within maybe the next 5 to 10 years. I would say the rate of change in the use of devices for affecting brain function is really faster than it's ever been.
Sarah Lissenby is chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at Duke University. Sarah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can send us ideas for our Back to the Future Part 2 series. Whether you're living in the present, the past, or the future, we're at DeLoreanHistorians@gmail.com. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.